We continue on in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp, light a lamp, and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Like that pretty lady said earlier, it's been quite a week, hasn't it? Seems like we fit a few weeks into this week. But what I want to dwell on is what I said earlier is we have flipped a page, we've started a new chapter. And many people think that because the chapter is changed that everything is great and all is well. But all it is an opportunity. And one of the things that made me so sad was someone who said, they have a problem, don't they? Because that is precisely how we ended up where we are. In a world that is so divided that we feel compelled to choose sides. I'm trying to shut out what I'm hearing. But one of the things that really gave me pause is there are two competing home improvement stores. And now one is the Republican home improvement store and the other is a Democrat home improvement store. And there are grocery stores that are lining up. And there are restaurants that are lining up. Did you know that there is a conservative chicken restaurant and a liberal chicken restaurant? You're laughing. But it's really happening. Makes me want to go to the other one wearing the wrong hat. But I'll get to that later. The world is asking us to choose sides. The world is asking us to point fingers. Romans 12 said, don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now is the time to do that renewing of your mind. Because the chapter has shifted and the new rules are in place and new sides are being chosen. I'm going to get into some specifics today. And it's going to make some people uncomfortable, but I think in the light of the fact that people are saying again and again they have a problem and pointing at the other side indicates that maybe that's what we need to do. One of the things that is difficult is if the other side criticizes you, you tend not to listen. Because it's just the other side. So then, how do you bring about change? You have to criticize and critique your own side. And I think that's one of the things that we're missing, and it's one of the things that we have to be about. Because neither side is right on everything, and there has to be some accountability called out. One of the ways that I find this most obvious is in the right to life movement. And One of the things that I find interesting is the way that it breaks down. The slogan on the left is they want to make it legal, safe, and rare. But in actuality, all the action goes to making it legal. If you look at the statistics, it's not one of the safest procedures. It's actually one of the most dangerous procedures out there. And there isn't a lot of outrage at the clinics that Gosnell and others like them operated, for lack of a better term. And the saddest thing for me is I go to compassion pregnancy centers because I believe that one of the biggest problems is a million women a year in the United States believe that their best or only choice is to abort. And that's on us because we're not giving them better choices. But you know something? I've never gone to a compassion pregnancy center and met a Democrat there. Not once. Five different towns. Never happened once. Something else that happened, though, is I went to a candlelight vigil for a capital punishment rally. Since the early beginnings of Judaism, the Judeo-Christian understanding is that life is sacred from conception to natural death. Capital punishment was put in place for the safety of society. You couldn't have dangerous people endangering society. If someone is in solitary confinement in the basement of a prison, how much of a danger are they to society? You know how many Republicans I've met at candlelight vigils for capital punishment? None. Do you know what happened when I showed up? I was literally asked, "Who are you spying for?" I couldn't figure out what sort of spying would be going on. But we've chosen up sides, we've chosen up causes, we compartmentalize them so that we don't have to encounter those other people. In the realm of our church, we're talking about gender and sexuality and marriage and things like this, and those are sticky conversations to have. One of the things that happened at the last conference is that we were talking about climate change, and it was science, 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 and then someone said, but gender is science. It is binary, it's male or it's female, from conception to natural death. Every cell you test comes up the same every single time. It's undeniable science. But sexuality is more complex. It has physical and psychological components. It is a much more personal thing. Why is it that the science doesn't play in now? But what broke my heart is when we started talking about the Judeo-Christian tradition going back 6,000 years is that we are celibate in singleness, monogamous in marriage, to death do us part. And there's talk now about striking that as old-fashioned and archaic. In counseling magazines, it'll tell you again and again and again that it is the healthiest lifestyle you can have. It makes for stronger marriages. It lasts. It encourages the children. It is clearly the way God intended it. And yet, because one side embraces it, the other side has to shun it. You can't be like that. You've got to hold fast to the truth, whether your side holds it up or not. So what am I saying? First, I'm talking about Matthew 7. Before you point a finger, You check your own eye. Make sure your eyes are clear and your conscience is informed before you go to correct somebody else. And then you turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and you say, okay, speaking the truth in love, we will all grow into Christ. How do I say this in the most loving way possible? It is not easy. When you listen to the scripture and it talks about being salt and light, salt is different from the world. Light is different than darkness. God is calling us to be something different than the world around us. It's going to be difficult. God didn't say it was going to be easy. He said, but my strength is sufficient for you. If you will do what I call you to do, you will have the strength you need to do it. I'm going to take you on a little bit of my walk as I have gone through some of these things. And I just want to let you know that it's a little bit uncomfortable, but I feel it's necessary. I spoke a couple weeks ago about the Breonna Taylor situation where she was shot in her apartment. And I have to say that I was a liberal, militant Republican. Then I became very, very conservative, and then I'm starting to come back a little bit the other way, and I'm finding that the parties do not fit me anymore. But this is how I would have reacted back when I was in college. I was outraged that Breonna Taylor was killed by the Louisville police, but who am I supposed to be angry with? The police department? Well, how about Kenneth Walker, the boyfriend who fired the first shot? How about Judge Mary Shaw, who gave a no-knock warrant? How about the detective Joshua Janes, who sought the no-knock warrant? How about, and what happened is nobody did anything wrong enough to be held accountable for what happened. So did that make it right? See, that's the problem is I'd say, well, it's a tragedy. Everybody did what they were supposed to do, followed orders the way they were supposed to do, did things procedurally correctly, so, oh, well. But it's not. It's not okay that she was shot and killed. In the same way I talked about George Floyd. Now, to be honest, George Floyd was a convicted felon. George Floyd, according to the medical examiner, died because of a drug overdose. Does that condone him being restrained on the ground, surrounded by four policemen, and with a knee in the back of his neck for almost 10 minutes? No, it's not. What's changed is the fact that I know there's a problem even when nobody's at fault. I used to just look at who did something wrong, who can be held accountable. If no one can be held accountable, oh well. You just let it go. I can't do that anymore. If something is wrong, you need to address it. Something is wrong. You got to be part of the solution. Now, I kind of beat up the pro-choice advocates a little bit early, and now I'm going to turn the mirror on myself. As I work very, very hard for a pro-life amendment, I work very hard to overturn Roe v. Wade, and God kind of convicted me and made me take a long, hard look He did it a few years ago now, through a young girl who came in crying because she had just had an abortion. Having to see somebody face to face changes the way you look at it. So on March 6th of every year, I get a call or I meet them, and she talks about the pain in her heart that she still bears from what happened. How sometimes she drives to the elementary school and parks out front and looks for the children that would be that age. It's hard. You need to be there for them. You need to be there and touch their hearts, because that pain is real. Through that, I had to connect with something called Arbor Vitae, which is a recovering counseling service for women that offers a retreat called Rachel's Vineyard that allows people to touch once again what it is that they're dealing with. What happened to me next, well, actually before that, in a place downtown Detroit, I was talking about this monogamy and singleness, and monogamy and marriage and celibacy and singleness, and was speaking out against homosexual behavior and how it was wrong. And I was working in downtown Detroit, and I was going to the DMC hospitals, and I was doing chaplaincy work, and I had done a chaplaincy portion at Duke. And so I went to the chaplain's office, and I said, are there people who aren't being visited who need pastoral care? They said, well, if you'd be willing to go up on the fourth floor, there are people there suffering from a new immune deficiency thing. And it was AIDS. And they said, nobody will visit them. And I said, I don't think they want to hear from me. And they said, they want to hear from anybody. They're all by themselves. I went home and didn't go up there that time. But each time I went back to the hospital, in the back of my mind, I knew that there were people up there who wanted and needed to hear. And I told the chaplain, I said, I don't support their lifestyle or what they did. And they said, at this point, they just want to know that somebody cares. So I went up and I read the 23rd Psalm. I read Isaiah, comfort, comfort my people. And again, I was connecting with people with whom I disagreed who had the same need for Christ that I did. And I also was transformed. Many of you got to meet Faith Fowler when she came here. I have often been giving to homeless and feeding the hungry ministries, but Faith got me face to face with them. And as you sit in the warming center, and as you sit and talk about life, as they eat the only meal they're going to have that day, and you talk about Spartan or Wolverine football, you talk about how beautiful the weather is, you talk about hopes and dreams, and you begin to understand that they're a lot more like you than you thought. And their needs and their hopes and dreams are a lot more like you than they than you thought. And I begin to take to heart the prayer of St. Francis. Because to become salt and light, you have to allow God to change you. Many of you know this prayer of St. Francis, but I hope you will hear it again for the first time as I read it for you today. Because I believe this is where we are as a nation. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that I might not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Friends, the chapter has flipped. But it's not an answer, it's not an ending, it's an opportunity. If we just choose new people to point fingers at, if we just choose new winners and losers, if we just choose to identify as us and them, turning of the chapter will mean nothing. But if speaking the truth in love, we reach out to the other side. Speaking the truth in love, we speak to our own side about the mistakes that we've made. If we choose to see ourselves as a community rather than two sides of a community, then the chapter really has turned. And there really is hope for something more. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come before you today, we've had lots of anxieties. We have been wondering what is going to happen. And the first piece of that puzzle has fallen into place, but now new questions arise. Help us to understand the opportunity that we have before us. Help us to be salt and light. Help us not to take the bait that the world offers us to choose sides and point fingers, but instead to build relationships, to bring hope, and change the future. Let the prayer of St. Francis become our prayer. And let us be your salt and light. In your Son's precious name we pray.